Welcome to the Kinkle Fritz and Friends podcast.
All right, our next guest was on season 5 of American Idol. She's written a book called My New Perspective on Faith, Fat, and Fame. Now a Grammy Award-winning and Dove-nominated artist, she started a career singing. This is cool. I didn't know this. Backup for Trisha Yearwood and Shania Twain. She's had 6 albums. One of those is called Coming Out of the Dark, and we're here to talk to her about her new book called Coming Out of the Dark. You're going to be encouraged by Mandisa's choice to trust God when you don't quite understand what's happening, that God can provide that peace for you. Mandisa is with us this morning.
Thank you. Can you hear my dog howling in the background? Sorry about that.
That's awesome. I've got 2 of them sitting behind me, and I'm just doing this, hoping they don't make it on the interview.
Yeah.
So you're in good company.
What kind of dog is that?
She's a Havanese. Let me show you.
She's beautiful.
Oh, man. How adorable. Oh, my gosh.
I love her.
So cute.
That's awesome. How fun. Wow.
Yes.
Well, are you ready to do this?
I'm ready.
Thanks for making time for us.
Yeah.
Thank you. So glad to be with you all.
You have a new book you've written.
I do.
This is exciting.
Out of the Dark. You know, I have an album called Out of the Dark. I have a book called Out of the Dark, and I have a podcast called Out of the Dark. So I'm just milking as much as I can through that title because it speaks so much to my journey.
Well, are you out yet?
I'm working on it.
Hey, I don't know if I'm out yet either.
The subtitle is My Journey Through the Shadow to Find God's Joy, because it really is a journey. Like I feel like I've come out, I've crept a little bit back in, I'm out again. And so I feel like it's a journey that I am walking through.
So this is sort of like an autobiography, right?
It is. Yeah, it really tells my story. It touches a bit on American Idol days, but also childhood, and really focuses on the period where I call it like my deep dark, the period of depression that was the worst of my life. It focuses on that and just the lessons that I have learned since then.
Wow. So why now?
Well, I mean, if I'm being honest, the pandemic gave me some time.
Yeah.
You know, after my tour was canceled and I had a lot of time to sit at home. And thank God, because so much of, you know, the last 2 years really was revisiting some of this and struggling, you know, to not go back to that place. And so I think it's also a subject, mental health issues, depression and anxiety. So many people are struggling with it. And I think the body of Christ really needs to talk about it. And so I think the time is now for us to kind of start having these conversations, because it's not just something that non-Christians deal with. Like, there's a lot of people in the body of Christ who struggle with this.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. Even myself, I am not typically melancholy. I don't typically go there. And my wife is a different story. She's had a lot of issues with anxiety and depression. But during the pandemic, it is one point where I was like, I'm having a hard time. And I realized I was depressed, and I never felt that before. And I didn't know what to do about it. I didn't know how to deal with it. And I was just eventually got out of that. And now I feel like the first time I get what my wife goes through.
Yeah, I think, you know, you hear about the statistics, like phone calls into the National Suicide Prevention Line went up 300% during that season of the last 2 years. A lot of people are struggling. And I think isolation plays a big role in it. Like, we're being told to isolate. But when you do that, it's just kind of breeding ground for all of those things. I mean, the more time you spend alone, I think the more you need to be careful of the thoughts that you are allowing into your mind. So at least that's been my understanding of my struggle.
I really relate to that whole situation and how it can creep up on you, especially if you haven't ever experienced it before. Like you said, Kinkle Fritz, it just is like, what is this thing I'm experiencing? So I'm really struck as I've just poured through your book, Out of the Darkness. First off, I just want to say thank you. Wow. You've given us a vulnerable, deeply personal, warm look at your life. And if I would or could open up as you did, I don't know. That would be very, very, very difficult. And so I wonder what helped you to find a place where you belong and to be able to present your story as you have.
It was not easy. It's very hard. As a matter of fact, anytime I think about some parts of my story that I would rather have left out of the book, I realize, you know, every time I share something like that, I hear from people who say, I'm so glad I'm not the only one who experienced something like that. And so that made me understand sharing things really helps other people know that they're not alone. And I think that's one of the biggest parts about talking about depression and anxiety is realizing so many people are struggling, that you're not the only one dealing with it. And I think that's one step that leads to healing, is being open and transparent. And, you know, you don't have to talk about it to the world like I am. You know, if you just have one person, you know, family, friend, loved one, professional counselor. I'm a big fan of counselors and therapists. And I think opening up and talking about it is the beginning of finding a way out of it, is by sharing it in the first place.
Now, was that scary?
Yeah, it is. I think it was a progression. You know, my Out of the Dark album came out in 2016. It was a journey. You know, as I started sharing about these things in music, for some reason, that's easier for me, and in concerts and in interviews, that's when I would start to hear from people saying, I'm so glad I'm not the only one that has gone through something like that. And so that's why, had I not done that in 2016, I probably couldn't have written this book in 2021. Like, it's because I know how many people are struggling with it. And because I know the power of the transparency, that's why I was able to do it. But yeah, I was scared, and I just, you know, I did it afraid. You know, I think that there is courage that comes from just doing it and being scared in the moment, but doing it anyway.
I love that. You did it afraid. Some people might think, well, wait a second, to do it, you got to have it all together, right? That's not the case.
I wish.
Me too.
I think that that is part of why it's so scary, is because I'm not just saying, look, I've arrived and here's how I did it and now it's done. Like, it's very much of still a journey. Like, it is, look, I made it out of that darkness this time and mashed it back a little bit, and now I'm still doing it again. Like, it is a progression for me. And I, you know, I think that's what courage is it's not the absence of fear. It's pressing through and doing it anyway in the presence of fear, but knowing that I don't have to depend on my own strength. That's where my faith comes into play with it, is I can do it because of my Savior, who has done far harder things, and his power is at work in me. So that's, you know, it's, yes, it's a mental battle. And yes, I'm a fan of counseling. I also believe that the counselor, the Holy Spirit, has played a big role.
Amen.
In my journey as well.
That's good. Well, you know, you did something that I would be fearful of. You did share about how you went through some childhood trauma.
Yeah.
And survived abuse as a teenager. And that really, tell us how that affected you.
Yeah, I didn't realize it at the time, but, you know, I became a Christian when I was 16 years old. It was in December, but I was also raped when I was 16, a few months before that. And I can't help but to think that, you know, the desperation that I felt after being raped maybe is what opened me up and led to me being open to, you know, Jesus at such a young age. I mean, you know, people have grown up in the church, but it took on a new meaning for me at 16, where I realized these stories that I have heard for much of my life, you know, going to church every other weekend with my dad and stepmom, that this isn't just a storybook. You know, this isn't a fiction book that I read, the Bible, that there really was a Savior, Jesus, who really did die for me. It took on a new meaning for me at 16. And so, you know, I think any time that that innocence is taken from you, while your mind is still forming, I think that has an impact. It did for me. And I started to equate beauty with danger. And I started eating to really comfort, you know, comfort food. And it's been a lifelong struggle, you know, from a very early age. And so I think the fact that I am still wrestling with this, I think it's just because it was formed at such an early age. And that kind of thing has an impact on you. And so, you know, I've been through a counseling journey. I have found healing. I do still think that there is still some healing to be found in that area. You know, I'm 45 years old. I'm still single. I would like to be married. I just think that there are some things that I have not dealt with. And in order for me to be the kind of loving wife that I want to be and to have a husband that I can completely open myself up to, I just know that there is still some work that I have to do in that area. And it's something I'm willing to do.
So the beauty thing, was it the fact that this person did something to you because you were beautiful? Is that,
yeah,
and that maybe you shouldn't
in
be?
In a sense.
Yeah.
he kept saying, "You're so beautiful. You're so beautiful." And I just think in a young mind, it just kind of muddles up things. And so, I do think that there is a part of that. I think one in six women have that happen to them in one way or the other. And so I just don't think something like that can happen to you as a child and not have an impact you. And so I think that was definitely part of the struggle for me at an early age.
How does the music fit into all of this? I'm fascinated at through it all, you've had your music. And so I wonder, how does that help you find that place where you belong?
Yeah, it's interesting. So this book, each of the chapters is titled from one of my songs. And so much of my music has been written from a place of some of the things I've gone through. You know, my first album was called True Beauty from a song that I wrote called True Beauty because I was coming off of American Idol and Simon Cowell and him making comments about my weight. And so from the very first time that people heard of me, my music has come from my personal story. And so after I came out of that deep dark of 2014 and 2016, the album that I wrote was Out of the Dark. And so much of that was me finally saying, okay, look, I know that you know me as a cheerleader and this is going to make you stronger and it's a good morning and you're an overcomer. But I want you to know I battle with depression, and that whole album, even the interludes, I had phone calls and messages from my friends and my loved ones that were reaching out to me during that period. So much of that album was a journey that I found myself walking through that darkness. And, you know, the music that I've released recently is more worship. It's more vertical because I have found that that has been a place of soul nourishing for me, is just talking directly to God and saying, I trust you, I believe you. So not a lot of people know me as a worship artist, but I'm just finding the way that I communicate, the way that I find healing often comes through my music.
You know, in your book, you just brought up American Idol, and you talked about how the American Idol that we saw isn't exactly what you saw in the moment. And what Simon Cowell said to you, We all saw it because we're watching it, and you didn't know what he had said until you're watching it with your friends. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, he made the comments about my weight after I left the room. So I didn't find out until I was watching the premiere episode. I had no idea. And so, yeah, so many, you know, what you see on TV is just a snapshot. There's a lot that's happening, you know, in the background. And so, yeah, it was quite a journey. At one point I broke out in hives when I was on American Idol. It was so stressful, but I don't think I would be here today had I not gone through something like that. And learned a lot. I'm so thankful for the platform, but it wasn't easy necessarily. It was just, again, kind of a theme. It's worth it. Even if it's not easy, it's worth it.
Well, you described that you were like having a watch party. And so that ended up right in front of all your friends. I thought, wow, that's no fun.
It's better than had I been by myself and seen it.
Like, oh, true. Good point.
The power of community is such a thread in my life. And the fact that they could pause it in the moment and pray for me and kind of help direct my thoughts, I would have gone down a spiral had they not been there to say, okay, wait a minute, there's a bigger story going on here. So I'm very thankful that I wasn't by myself to watch that.
You know, that's an interesting comment, because I think that we all know people who are going through dark places in their lives, storms in their lives. And yet so often, as a friend, as a family member, we're standing there going, but what can I do? How can I walk alongside this person? How did your friends make a difference in your family as you walked through this unbelievable time?
It was huge. I wish people could know the love that was surrounding me during that time. I mean, the phone calls and the texts and the people banging on my door. I'll be honest, in the moment, I was not happy about it. I was like, get away from me. I don't want to talk about it. But in that moment where I had a handful of pills and I just wanted to end it all, that's who I was thinking about. I knew I was loved. I knew I would be missed. And even though their calls and their messages went unanswered, from their perspective, they probably thought they were making no difference at all. But I was later able to tell them, you saved my life. Had you not been there, I wouldn't be here today. And the turning point came for me when they accosted me. I say in the theater parking lot. I I was in the theater for like 4 hours because I watched two movies. And when I came out, I had a bunch of sticky notes all over my car. And they said things like, we love you and we miss you. And they had scriptures and come back to us. And they were there. They had been sitting out in that parking lot and they had an intervention for me. And they essentially said, we love you. We accept you just as you are, but we love you too much to leave you there. And they forced me to get counseling. That's really what began my ascent out of that pit. It is by actually dealing with the grief and, you know, just the darkness that I was surrounding myself in. I couldn't have done it by myself. And that includes my family, my friends. It also includes my counselor, who has helped me to delve into some areas that I would not have done by myself.
You know, you've been through a lot of tragedy and it's easy to get stuck in the why God. Laura, well, I mean, like I've got a daughter diagnosed with multiple special needs and I can go there real fast. You know, why did this happen to us? You said that you started looking at things differently and it changed perspective for you.
Yeah, you know, part of what began my descent in 2014 was my friend Keisha passed away. She was pregnant when she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And so her son was born. He's beautiful. He's healthy. But she had a year with him before she passed away and went on to be with the Lord. And I was so angry and I had so much grief. And I didn't understand why a good God would allow something like that to happen. But you know that scripture, it's in Revelation 12. It says, for they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And that's really, you know, when I think of my song, Overcomer, I think of that scripture and I would always end that scripture there. But you know, the rest of it says, for they did not love their lives so much as to fear death. And it's a scripture about martyrs. And it made me realize, you know, I have such a finite view of what life is about right here. Like, this is such a vapor. Like, we're here for such a short time. But if we're going to call ourselves men and women of faith, we have to believe in eternity. And it's not just that, oh, well, in heaven, it's all going to be gone. Like, that's real. I really believe that when we get a full glimpse of the story that God is writing, this time on earth is such a small part of it. And so understanding that this is not it, that God is writing a story, that what we see right now is not the end of the story, that he makes it beautiful. And when I think about, you know, the disciples, how they probably, maybe they thought that what they were doing wasn't making a difference, but look at everything that has happened since then. I mean, they were martyred and killed and everything that they went through, but in the long scheme of things, it was worth it. And so I have to hold on to that when things happen that I don't understand, or if I can be honest, don't agree with. I have to understand that God, like Stephen Curtis Chapman says, God is God and I am not. He knows what he's doing and he is able to hold me in, even in the middle of things that I wish were not happening. He is good and he can make good out of ugly.
Amen. Well, it's Romans 8:28 there. And and you know what? I don't even know if we'll ever know why.
Well, when we get to heaven, I've asked God for like a big screen, like a movie theater where I can just, can you just lay out the plan of what was happening?
Right.
Because I know he's got a reason.
Exactly. Let me see the diagram here. What? How come that went down?
Yeah.
Going back to friendship, Natalie Grant wrote the most beautiful foreword for your book. She said, we are women with strong personalities who have no problem speaking our minds. I was like, yes and amen. Tell us a little bit about these friendships and what they've meant to you, Mandisa, because wow, I was encouraged.
You know, Natalie has been somebody, not just one of my favorite artists, one of my favorite voices. She's just one of my favorite people. And so much of what she has been through, she has also opened up for the world to hear about. And she's encouraging people through her story. And so having her write that forward, and also all of the people that I've surrounded myself with, want people, if they don't walk away with anything, want people to walk away with knowing God has surrounded you with people to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. The way that he works is by reaching through other people and helping to pull you out. Natalie was one of those people, and I have a long list of people that I could say that about, but I want people to just be encouraged. Don't try to do it yourself. Ask God if you don't feel like you've got anybody in your life. Ask him to bring somebody in your life or to open your eyes to who is in your life that can be that for you. Because there is something about the body of Christ that I think we've got it twisted, where we try to be brave and do it all by ourselves. And I feel like God is saying, no, that is not how I made you. I mean, read what the Bible says about the body of Christ and how we need each other. And so I want people to walk away knowing that we need each other and we shouldn't try to do it on our own.
Hey, talk to those who are currently in the midst of their journey through the shadows and haven't yet found God's joy? What would you say to them?
Don't try to look at where you need to be a year from now. Don't try to forecast at how far you have to go today. What can you do today? What steps can you take today to walk just another step out of that dark place? You can get overwhelmed when you think of how far you have to go, but you know, healthy road is paved one step at a time. And so I think the first step should be to link arms with somebody, family, friend, counselor, whatever it is. That should be the first step, is trying to find somebody that can be that person for you to help lift the burden. Don't try to do it yourself. And then, you know, one step at a time is how you're going to get there. But as long as you are still breathing, as long as there's still breath in your body, God is still writing your story. And it is good. He doesn't write mess. Like, he is a beautiful author, and he is able to write something beautiful out of what you may consider to be ashes. Ooh, he's able to make something beautiful out of it.
Yeah. And it's got, and this story has a good ending too.
Absolutely.
Some of them, you get to the end and you're like, come on.
Yeah.
You ended the book that way? Come on. Exactly.
Right.
And what a beautiful book it is. Out of the Dark, My Journey Through the Shadows to Find God's Joy. Wow. Just to think. I think it's easy to look at somebody like you, Mandisa, and go, well, she went to Idol and there you go. And miss the whole God story that is behind who you are today and the smile on your face. And I just appreciate so much. Yeah, that one. What you've done to just be that vulnerable person that we talked about initially, to share your life and to share the highs and the lows, and especially your friendship that really was the basis for your song, Overcomer.
You know, when I think of Keisha and her looking down at me right now, I know that she's thinking, I can't wait for you to get near me. So you're going to be blown away by what it is to be linking arms with Jesus and watching you tell this story. It helps me to set my focus on things above. And that's what gives me hope. When things are at its worst, I recognize there is something beautiful that's waiting for me.
Mm, that's good. Mm. One last question.
Uh-huh.
What is bringing you joy today?
I find joy in knowing that this story is going to give hope to somebody. You know, you never know what's going to hit you. You know, it could be a song on a radio. It can be, you know, a scripture that just pops into your mind out of no reason, or somebody reaching out to you. And so thinking about somebody who feels hopeless, you know, watching this, listening to this, and realizing that there is still hope, that gives me joy in knowing that there is a purpose in all of it.
I love that.
Yes.
That's good.
Yeah. That's a huge statement. There's a purpose in all of that.
Amen.
And aren't we
Amen.
Blessed to be able to share that joy?
That's right.
Thank you, Mandisa.
Absolutely. Thank you all so much. It was great talking to you.
Oh, thanks. Did you just call us awesome? Or it was awesome talking to us? It was,
awesome,
I'm not
great,
awesome.
But you are awesome.
Oh, stop it.
I'm like, well, I think I'll let him have awesome if that's
See,
what he thinks.
I miss
are you
hear
paying for a compliment?
Yeah, no, I miss hear things on purpose. So was that what you said?
Got it.
Oh. All right. Well, you have a wonderful day. Thanks for hanging. Appreciate it.
Thank y'all. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Kinkle Fritz and Friends podcast. We would appreciate it so much if you could rate, review, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. You can also find more exclusive content at myflr.org and FLR Mornings on both Facebook and Instagram. And if you support Family Life Radio, thank you.